In The Lexus and the Olive Tree, I argued that to the extent that countries tied their economies and futures to global integration and trade, it would act as a restraint on going to war with their neighbors. I first started thinking about this in the late 1990s when, during my travels, I noticed that no two countries that both had McDonald's had ever fought a war against each other since each got its McDonald's. After confirming this with McDonald's, I offered what I called the Golden Arches Theory of Conflict Prevention. The Golden Arches Theory stipulated that when a country reached the level of economic development where it had a middle class big enough to support a network of McDonald's, it became a McDonald's country. And people in McDonald's countries didn't like to fight wars anymore. They preferred to wait in line for burgers. While this was offered slightly tongue-in-cheek, the serious point I was trying to make was that as countries got woven into the fabric of global trade and rising living standards, which having a network of McDonald's franchises had come to symbolize, the cost of war for victor and vanquished became prohibitively high. This McDonald's theory has held up pretty well, but now that almost every country has acquired a McDonald's, except the worst rogues like North Korea, Iran, and Iraq under Saddam Hussein, it seemed to me that this theory needed updating for the flat world. In that spirit, and again with tongue slightly in cheek, I offer the Dell theory of conflict prevention, the essence of which is that the advent and spread of just-in-time global supply chains in the flat world are an even greater restraint on geopolitical adventurism than the more general rising standard of living that McDonald's symbolized. The Dell theory stipulates, no two countries that are both part of a major global supply chain, like Dell's, will ever fight a war against each other as long as they are both part of the same global supply chain. Because people embedded in major global supply chains don't want to fight old-time wars anymore. They want to make just-in-time deliveries of goods and services and enjoy the rising standards of living that come with that. One of the people with the best feel for the logic behind this theory is Michael Dell, the founder and chairman of Dell. These countries understand the risk premium that they have, said Dell of the countries in his Asian supply chain. They are pretty careful to protect the equity that they have built up, or tell us why we should not worry about their doing anything adventurous. My belief, after visiting China, is that the change that has occurred there is in the best interest of the world and China. Once people get a taste for whatever you want to call it, economic independence, a better lifestyle, and a better life for their child or children, they grab onto that and don't want to give it up. Any sort of war or prolonged political upheaval in East Asia or China would have a massive chilling effect on the investment there and on all the progress that has been made there, said Dell, who added that he believes the governments in that part of the world understand this very clearly. We certainly make clear to them that stability is important to us. Right now, it is not a day-to-day worry for us. I believe that as time and progress go on there, the chance for a really disruptive event goes down exponentially. I don't think our industry gets enough credit for the good we are doing in these areas. If you are making money and being productive and raising your standard of living, you're not sitting around thinking, "Who did this to us?" or "Why is our life so bad?" There is a lot of truth to this. Countries whose workers and industries are woven into a major global supply chain know that they cannot take an hour, a week, or a month off for war without disrupting industries and economies around the world and thereby risking the loss of their place in that supply chain for a long time, which could be extremely costly. For a country with no natural resources, being part of a global supply chain is like striking oil, oil that never runs out. And therefore, getting dropped from such a chain because you start a war is like having your oil wells go dry or having someone pour cement down them. They will not come back anytime soon. You are going to pay for it really dearly, said Glenn E. Nayland, Senior Vice President for Worldwide Procurement at Dell, when I asked him what would happen to a major supply chain member in Asia that decided to start fighting with its neighbor and disrupt the supply chain. It will not only bring you to your knees today, but you will pay for a long time, because you just won't have any credibility if you demonstrate you are going to go off the political deep end. And China is just now starting to develop a level of credibility in the business community that it is creating a business environment you can prosper in, with transparent and consistent rules. Nayland said that suppliers regularly ask him whether he is worried about China and Taiwan, which have threatened to go to war at several points in the past half century, but his standard response is that he cannot imagine them doing anything more than flexing muscles with each other. Nayland said that he can tell in his conversations and dealings with companies and governments in the Dell supply chain, particularly the Chinese, that they recognize the opportunity and are really hungry to participate in the same things they have seen other countries in Asia do. They know there is a big economic pot at the end of the rainbow, and they are really after it. We will spend about $35 billion producing parts this year, and 30% of that is in China. If you follow the evolution of supply chains, added Nayland, you see the prosperity and stability they promoted first in Japan and then in Korea and Taiwan and now in Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Thailand, and Indonesia. Once countries get embedded in these global supply chains, they feel part of something much bigger than their own businesses, he said.